The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Johnny Agar and his mom share his story of overcoming the odds to compete in Ironman triathlons.
It's like, you know, God is telling me, you know, I'm here for you, you know. You don't have to worry about a thing. I will show you where to go and help you along the way. So it was a beautiful thing for me. And
love was just surrounding him. It was just the most beautiful moment.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson, and we are excited about today's show. If you've got your phone beside you, go text a friend and say, tune in, because you're really going to love this program. I remember the first time I saw this guest, I was watching, I had TV on, it was on a sports channel, but suddenly this race came on, and here was this amazing guy, Johnny, and his dad doing this race in a way that I had never seen before. I literally sat there with tears rolling down my face. So today we have Johnny Agar and his mum, Becky, because they've got a brand new book called The Impossible Mile. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I love the subtitle, The Power in Living Life, One Step at a Time. That's powerful. Becky, would you take us back to when you were pregnant? And like every mom, you know, you think things are going to go according to a certain schedule. But things didn't quite happen that way.
Right. So about 29 weeks, I ended up having Johnny. He wanted to come into the world a little bit sooner than we were ready for him to. So he was about 11 weeks early. And for a premature baby, he was pretty big. He was 3 pounds, 7 ounces. And he was doing really well. However, they do a test, a diagnostic test for almost all preemie babies, where they scan, they do a CAT scan on their heads just to make sure that there's no internal bleeding or anything going on. And so that's when we found out that Johnny had some bleeding on the brain. About a week after that, we were called into the doctor's office, and the neonatologist had told us at that time that Johnny had cerebral palsy. So as first-time parents, it was a little bit unnerving for us, right? We knew we had heard of cerebral palsy, but we didn't really know what it was, what that meant for a diagnosis. And we knew it wasn't good. And so we'd asked the doctor at the time, you know, well, fill us in. We need to know what this is. At the time, you know, the internet wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself, I know. But but he said, you know, I can give you all the books you want to read, and you can do as much research as you want to about cerebral palsy. But he said, in my years of doing this as a neonatologist, I found that a lot of times parents will read that and they'll anticipate things happening for their child that may not happen. And so he said, you know, I have the books, you can read them. Or he said, I would suggest you love your child as your child and take it day by day. And so Jeff and I had decided at that point that that's what we were going to do. We were going to just love him and take it day by day and, go from there.
Wow.
Yeah. Changed my life, really. So.
Wow. That's an amazing, I mean, for parents to be like, you know,
sure.
That's just, we'll just love you.
Yeah.
I wondered too, Johnny, was there a point in your life where you thought, okay, I'm different than other people around me?
I did to some extent, but my mom and dad and my friends that I had around me, they really made me feel like, you know, that it was just something that I had to deal with and something that, you know, I was going to have to ask God to get me through. And so I just was really, really thankful for the fact that, you know, they didn't really make an excuse for my disability. You know, that was just the way that God created me and you know, he has a plan for everything, and we don't really know what that plan is, you know, to some extent, but, you know, his his plan is a lot greater than ours. So we just need to trust in that.
That's
so
beautiful.
You know, I think a lot of people, when they're faced with the situation you are, they strive for some level of normalcy, what we think of as normalcy.
Yeah.
You guys went for the extraordinary.
Huh.
What in the world made you decide, I'm not just going to do what every other kid does. I'm going to do what most kids don't do, and I'm going to become an athlete.
Well, I looked at athletes as somebody that I could look up to because I watched how hard athletes train to participate in games. And I looked at that as like a visual representation of what I needed to do. I need to get stronger and better, and that would help me to become more independent in life, just like athletes do to become successful or you know, do what they're trained to do. And so it was really a representation, a visual representation for me of, you know, I need to have these people around me. And triathlon really gave me an opportunity to really express what I could do and really have the right people around me to show me what I could do. So
it's amazing.
Let me ask you about the title of the book, The Impossible Mile. When I read that part, and considering how many steps you had walked up to that point in your life, this part blew me away. Now, you're the mom. How are you dealing with this, where suddenly your son wants to go way beyond what? I mean, yeah. Randy and I couldn't run around the block.
I know, you know, he had only walked 23 steps. And Johnny does a lot of thinking. And you have to realize that, you know, throughout his whole growing up, we'd always wanted him to be typical, right? We didn't ever want to say normal, because what is normal? But we always wanted to call him typical. And so we had always encouraged him to do things that were kind of, you know, what everybody else would do his age. And so, and he would do a lot of thinking, and he would constantly come up to us and say, you know, I'm going to try this. And it's okay, let's do that. So it was a breakfast. We were at breakfast one day and one morning, and he said, you know, I've been thinking I want to walk a mile, the last mile in one of the races Dad pushes me in. And our
I wanted to give Dad a break is what I, what I like to say. So.
And our immediate thought was, Jeff and I both looked at each other, and we knew, because we weren't going to say, how are you going to do that? You know, you've only walked 23 steps. We just said, okay, you know, let's just start training. Let's figure out how we can get that done. And what kind of parents would we have been had we put a limitation on it at this point, because we had been saying all along that, you know, he could do all these things and if he wanted to and tried. So
and that was what triathlon gave me too. I knew that, you know, even though I had only walked 23 steps, I knew that there was a process to things. Uh-huh. And I knew watching my dad train, you know, how hard he works, I knew that I could accomplish things if I did the same thing and just have faith in God and have the right tools with me, that I could accomplish anything. So.
Which to me is amazing, because your body does not obey what your mind always tells it to do.
Sure.
That is a huge challenge. From the mental to the physical, how were you able to get through that? How do you even train for that?
I think, you know, if you have the right support system, then people will start telling you stuff. I always like to think of racing as going to church every day, you know, every week. You know, you're there to have that positive reinforcement with you, and I think, you know, racing does the same for me. Not that racing will ever have the same impact that church does. but I think it's the same scenario, in that, you know, if you have those people around you, that those messages with you every day,
or
every week, then you come to believe it, and it becomes a part of you. Mm. And I think that encouraged me and helped you to do a lot more than you think.
One of the things in your story that I found really moving was, so you're committed to do the last mile, and you have this special thing that will help you walk it. But you're not seeing initially what's happening because it's kind of over the hill. And then tell me about that moment, because some people said, hey, you need to come see this.
Yeah, my job was to stay at the finish line because I wanted to get pictures. That's what I love to do. And so at the finish line, there's a little bit of a hill. When I'm standing there, I can't really see what's happening. And it took him an hour and 45 minutes to walk that mile.
Wow.
So I was there for quite a long time, and people kept coming up and they were crying. And I was starting to get nervous because I thought, what is happening? And finally, a friend of mine came up. He had biked up and he said, Becky, you've got to go see what's happening. And I said, why? Is everything okay? And he said, just get down to where they are and you'll see what I mean. And so when I had started walking down there, I saw Johnny walking, and he was surrounded by hundreds of people behind him. His dad was beside him. My two daughters were there. And then just everybody who had either run the race or had come to watch were standing behind him. And every step he took, they would just encourage him every step of the way. It was like love was just surrounding him. It was just the most beautiful moment. And it just filled my heart because I know how much he wanted to do that, and I know how much he struggled to do it. And to just have that encouragement, I just wish everybody could kind of feel that that same thing when they're challenged with something, because it was just,
wow. Yeah. This wasn't just a fulfillment of a race. I mean, this has got to be a fulfillment of a lifetime of your whole family working together to do the impossible.
Yeah.
And, it was beautiful.
And you know what my favorite part about it was? It was at our church 5K, so, and over the hill was my church. So it was like God was telling me, you know, I have a hard time too when I walk. If I keep my head down, then my whole body gets out of whack.
Oh, wow.
So if I can keep my head up, and that will help me stay focused and keep my posture going. So it's like, you know, God is telling me, you know, I'm here for you, you know. You don't have to worry about a thing. I will show you where to go and help you along the way. So it was a beautiful thing for me.
Wow.
And really a, really a eye-opening kind of an eye-opening event in my faith life, too.
Let me ask you about your faith life, though, because so often, you know, we're still coming through a pandemic.
Right.
People are facing impossible situations, different situations. How do your challenges impact your faith? Do you question God?
I think, you know, like I said before, God's plan is a lot different than what we think our plan is. So, you know,
it's true.
So I think if anything, it strengthens my faith. It's all about, you know, people can look at it different ways for sure. But I think, you know, for me and Mom's been strong in her faith her whole life. And so I think, you know, there's been a wonderful thing for me to understand that, you know, no matter what happens, God has my back, and he's not doing this because, you know, he wants me to struggle. He's doing this to maybe help others, and that's what I really want from the book, is to really help others.
I noticed on the cover, and we can show a close-up of the cover, that it says the impossible mile, but the I and the M at the beginning of that word are fading away to make the impossible possible.
Yeah.
What are the things that you have learned that you want other people to learn to take that impossible and make it possible?
I think that, you know, in order for me to walk, I need to take small steps, not big steps.
Well, that's good.
And I think, you know, if you take your challenges and you put them into smaller, you break them down into smaller pieces, they're easier for me to for me and others to accomplish. Yeah. But I think if you, like, for example, if you want to say, you know, Dad's going to go out and do 140.6 miles, you know, you look at that and say, that's really daunting. But in reality, you know, if you have a training plan you put together and you trust your coaches that are with you, and you can accomplish things. And I think that's really been a huge, huge benefit for me to see that and to know that there's a process to things. And you may not get it at the first try, but
right.
But it's always there for you if you want it badly enough. So
that is a great point.
Yeah. So, and I think the big thing is with Johnny is, you know, he experiences failure every day. So just getting out of bed, you know, it takes him a few tries. And anything, it's failure is just part of his life. So he never was afraid to fail. Mm. And I think a lot of times people are held back because they're going to be embarrassed that they fail, or they're going to, you know, for whatever reason.
They look at it as like a definite thing, you know?
Right, as a bad thing. And whereas Johnny just sees it as it's just part of his everyday.
Yeah, it's not the end. It's just
right,
part of the process.
Right.
Yeah.
So his challenges, you know, yes, as he was growing up, there were sometimes he'd look at the kids playing and he'd think, why couldn't I do that? But he didn't really lament on it. He would use it. He turned it into a positive.
Yeah.
And we always wanted to include him in everything. So if he couldn't play baseball, he can't really throw a baseball too well. It would go backwards. But he would ump during a game.
That's
you know,
great.
He would do something. He'd be a part of the game in a way that he could, and we'd just adapt it for him. So I think he just always kind of was raised that way and had that mentality. And then when he got old enough to make the decisions, those challenges became opportunities for him. And he went from there.
Let me ask you one thing, Johnny. On the front cover, Johnny Agar is a true inspiration. Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time.
Yeah, it really meant a lot for me to have him be a part of the book, because it's not just about the gold medals. It's how hard he works, how, mm-hmm. you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's so much more than wins and losses for me. And
yeah.
It's what do you learn from things? And so I look at how hard he trains and how hard he works to accomplish things. And I say, you know, I can work that way too. And I really don't really need that for wins and losses necessarily. I need it so I can be more independent in life.
Yeah.
And so it's just a wonderful thing for him to be a part of the book, and I'm really thankful for it. So
all that you've been through with the races and, you know, the TV commercials and the athletes endorsing you, that has given you a platform. And you've chosen to use that not just to inspire people sort of in whatever they're struggling with, but you've used it to proclaim Christ.
Yeah.
Why is that such an important message?
I think, you know, God's plan is a lot bigger than ours. And so I just really want people to understand that, you know, my favorite Bible verse is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I really lean on that a lot. And so I tell people that all the time. But I'm really thankful that he's given me this opportunity to inspire others and bring glory to him too as well. So
amazing. And we're going to tell you how you can get hold of this phenomenal book, The Impossible Miles, story of Johnny Agar with his mom, Becky Agar, because maybe you can't throw a ball forwards, but I don't think some of those people who can will have written a best-selling book. So we're just very proud of you, proud to know you. And I want to let you see something now. It's another battle that we are very much part of. And so watch this, and then I'm going to tell you how you can get hold of Johnny's book.
So, first, can you introduce yourself and tell us your name and what you do?
Yeah. My name is Bella, and I work as a social worker in Siem Reap.
And what does it mean to be a social worker in Siem Reap?
It means that I go to KTV to find a girl and help them find a new job.
There's a popular form of recreation in Asia called karaoke television, or KTV. These KTVs are advertised as places to sing with friends. But as I've seen with my own eyes, in many areas, a KTV is a front for human trafficking.
The guy go to sing, and then if they want to have sex, they ask the girl, would they go with them, and then they go. I know this feeling, you know.
How do you know that feel?
Because I've been through. I used to feel, you know, I used to do that too. So I really know it and clearly that it's not what they want.
Although she was trafficked herself at the age of 12, Bella was rescued and she has since chosen to put her faith in Christ. Today, Bella fights to reach, rescue, and restore girls from sexual slavery.
You know, sometimes I told them about my story. I said, before I used to do that too, and I know how to feel. I think if I'm without God, I'm nothing. So every day I always thank God for this life.
Tonight, there's a girl about to endure another round of exhausting torment. Bella's life was changed when somebody chose to help her. That same opportunity is yours right now.
I love Bella and I love her story. And what we now know, Bella's now married and she has children. She has this beautiful life that God has put back together. And the reason that it's been put back together is because of people like you. You have stood with us in these campaigns for years. And honestly, it's been one of the most harrowing campaigns to be part of. You know, I remember my first trip to Southeast Asia when I saw the age of these girls. I mean, they're just little girls. They're like your daughter, like your granddaughter, like your little sister. And they put all sorts of makeup on them and dress them up as if they're older. But I saw them during the day when they had no makeup on, and they're just little babies who should be loved. But because of the Partners at Life outreach, we've been able to go in to places like that, and Bella works with us, and tell other girls there is hope. Remember those nights you lay in the dark crying out, if there is a God, send someone to help me. Well, God heard that prayer. But now we need to do it even more. The evil is getting even darker as the days get darker. But we are the body of Christ on the planet at this time, and we're coming in as a mighty force in Jesus' name. And Randy, we can all do something.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you know this, but recently we received a report from one of our mission partners in the field where we had rescued a couple of girls, and it's heartbreaking, Sheila, because they were 5 and 7. That's what we're up against, but you know what? We don't stop. You know, we reach into these areas with the sole purpose of rescuing these children and restoring them. And you know what? It's interesting because Bella got to see the goodness of God, and we've talked about showing people the goodness of God. How do we do that? Well, we do that with you. Normally, it costs, on an average, $128 to reach into one of these areas and rescue one of these children or to put them through a program that would restore them. But we have a matching gift right now. We have people that have already stepped up into this campaign and said, we will match up to $320,000. What is that? That means to me, that means she's like, here we go. I kind of get excited. I'm like, we're gonna really blow we're going to storm the gates of hell in this one, right? But we need you. We want you to make up the rest of that. That means that just to reach one child, instead of $128, it's $64. It doubles your impact. That's just the math on it. But here's the bottom line. We together are going to, we're going to Storm the gates of hell is the way I think of it. I don't want to see any more children, much less the youngest, the most innocent, robbed. I want to show them the goodness of God, and I'm asking you to do that today. Join with us in Rescue Life. Let's reach out to these. Let's show them God is good. There is hope. He has a plan for you. He has a future. He has it for you, and He has it for these, and it's tied together. So will you go online? Will you go to the phones and give the best gift you can? You can help us rescue lives today. Do it now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to educate children at risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives, giving them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Sheila Walsh's brand new book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, a lifeline of hope for those who feel their life is falling apart. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Beauty Out of Ashes puzzle set, featuring an image taken by our team while on a trip to the mission field. This 500-piece puzzle forms a beautiful portrait of hope in the midst of despair. Included is a 24-piece puzzle for your children and grandchildren. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thank you so much. And if the lines are busy, keep calling. We are determined to shine the brightest light into the darkest corners of the earth.
When you do, if today you will request the Impossible Mile, we would love to send it to you, because we just appreciate Johnny and Becky, all that you have brought. Thank you so much for getting out and sharing the inspiration that you guys do. It's just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Awesome.
Yes, and thank you guys for watching. Don't miss the next episode of Life Today, and share this one with your friends. We'll see you again next time.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media sites or visit lifetoday.org, where life is always on. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.